Did you hear me tell you here yesterday, Alyssa Slotkin, my member of Congress, freshman member of Congress, saying yes to impeachment now. As the swing district Democrats fall in line with impeachment, it seems, Max Rose is in, Connor Lamb of Pennsylvania, Tom O'Halloran of Arizona, Susie Lee of Nevada, all jumping on board. More after that, too. Spanberger, others are in. They're all in on impeachment, and I I congratulate them on that. If you're all in, then we get to decide in 2020 whether you get to stay or not. I think that's a fairly good place for us to be. I'm okay with it. Grover Norquist joining me, the president for Americans for Tax Reform. Grover, welcome back to the program.
Absolutely. Good morning.
You know, and I was talking about this a moment ago. Look at all of the things this president has accomplished despite the incredible headwinds, the constant attacks from the Democrats and their handmaidens in the mainstream media. Yesterday, just for example, the Dow set a new record high well above 28,000, a four-day winning streak, another bit of evidence that the economy continues to do well despite all the noise and nonsense from the left. What do you make of it?
Well, no Democrats voted for the tax cut that gave us that growth. None of them helped us on any of the deregulation. They all opposed the judges, the Supreme Court judges, that have given us a better rule of law and more certainty on these issues. So they really played no role. It's not like 1986. 1981, Reagan got many Democrat votes for the tax cut that gave us the growth. They're still called the Reagan tax cuts, but Democrats voted for it, a lot of them. And in 86 with tax reform, you got good Democrat support for the tax cut then. That doesn't happen now. So they now have to sit on the side and be unhappy about something and run against the present and run against America's success. And so, you know, they made up the story about Russia, and then they made up one about Ukraine. And I don't know, we'll work on Kazakhstan or something.
Well, maybe,
Whatever's next door.
Those Kazakhstanians always creating problems, as you know, the Kazakhstanians or whatever they call them. It's interesting that you point that out. The 2020 Democrats, zero support for the tax cuts, zero support for judges along the way, and they all vote for impeachment. You know, they all vote to hinder and hamper the president. None of them help out. And then they tried to take credit for the USMCA at the last moment. Galling, to say the least.
Well, that treaty's been ready for some time, and the Democrats refused to move it for months and months. So even there, they really just got in the way. And the impression you get is they said, oh, yeah, we're going to do it the same day they did impeachment, because the polling was telling them that impeachment wasn't going to win them the presidency, and they had to look like they've been doing something.
Well, let me ask you this. As you look, and I know you spend your time looking at the tea leaves of politics and business, so let's look at the tea leaves on a couple of different things. First of all, the economy for 2020 looks to be shaping up, frankly, pretty well with the USMCA rolling into place. You've got phase one of the China deal that does have some positive impact on the United States. And despite what was said by the Wall Street Journal and others, the United States did not cave in to the Chinese based on Lighthizer and the others' comments. So 2020 shapes up pretty solid financially for the economy. And how does that bode for the president come November 3rd?
Well, history says it doesn't do you. It doesn't help the Democrats. It actually helps the incumbent. Trump won against the best candidate they had, who'd been running for president for 16 years, and didn't have a record other than, you know, he'd been successful in business and on television and so on. But you didn't really know what he was going to do with judges. You didn't really know where he was on taxes. You know, people say it there for something. Now you know. So I think he will be significantly stronger. I'm in North Carolina right now, and the Republican legislature here, very excited. Senate candidate, the Democrats are doing their convention here because they're trying to make a play for North Carolina. Both his economic policies and his judges and the deregulation and no wars, you'd say no drama, except the Democrats have been dramatic about the whole thing.
Now, can you imagine, you know, he's scaling back the wars in Afghanistan and the efforts in Iraq and elsewhere, not getting involved with the conflict at the Syrian-Turkish border, which, by the way, didn't turn into some holocaust for the Kurds. newsflash. He moved the embassy to Jerusalem. Guess what? There wasn't some Holocaust there either. Although there were these dire predictions of mass war and fighting and death and bloodshed, these things did not happen. He continues to tick things off that he's getting done. And then I see the new budget come through, $1.37 trillion, I believe it is, somewhere in that neighborhood. And they can't find $5 billion to fund the border wall that he asked for. They can find part of it, but they just can never find all of it. And a $1.37 trillion spending plan that they spent on God knows what, they can't fund the border wall, which we all know we need for our national security. Your thoughts on that?
Well, my understanding from talking to the guys over at the Defense Department is that they are going to get enough money to get 450 miles of border wall where it's particularly needed, and that the president, and by Election Day, the president will be able to point to a very significant increase in security on the border, as well as his other accomplishments. Could, you know, do you need, I don't know, maybe another 100 miles? Possibly, but 450 miles of the most problematic areas, some places where there were like teeny walls that you could hop over, other places where there was nothing before, you'll be able to see pictures of it. And it should be one more thing on his list of what he said he was going to do, and he did, with the Democrats opposing it. And this is where, if we need more progress, you can say, you know what, guys, we need to hold on to the Senate, so focus on that. And I really need somebody in Congress who does something other than talk about impeachment. Please replace your congressman.
Well, I believe that there's going to be a, you know, like I said, these freshman members of Congress plus those in swing districts are all in now on impeachment. And I guess we'll just see where the chips fall. But I don't think that I was at the Alyssa Slotkin town hall meeting yesterday. Very raucous. Mm-hmm. Lots of people speaking out against her. Of course, they let a lot more Slotkin supporters in originally. You know, that's politics. I get it. But this is a very divided district. In fact, it's a Republican plus four district, the one that I live in. She won here by 3 points. And so I think she's gone all in on impeachment. And I think that puts her in political peril come next November. And I think that's true of a lot of these freshmen and swing district Democrats. Your thoughts?
Well, think about the presidential race as well. If you take all of the Democrats who've been running for president and put them in the Cuisinart, you'd get that guy that just lost in Britain. And he really is.
How important is that in your estimation, by the way? I think that the UK rejecting socialism and these elitists across the board is very telling. I'll give you 30 seconds, the last word on that.
It is almost exactly parallel. The elites in Britain were all in for Corbyn and against Boris Johnson, and the criticisms by the left of Boris Johnson are exactly those of Trump. And voters from the middle class and the working men and women voted for the Conservative Party overwhelmingly, way beyond anything the polls suggested.
Grover, always a great conversation. Look forward to talking to you soon. If I don't talk to you before, then have a Merry Christmas, my friend.
You too. You too.
There you have it. Grover Norquist, Americans for Tax Reform. A quick break. Dig a little deeper after that on The Steve Grover Show.
DTE believes that the energy we all use doesn't have to contribute to climate change. That's why within the next 10 years, we will triple renewables and cut carbon emissions in half. And now we're announcing a bold new goal to reach net zero carbon emissions in electric generation by 2050. DTE has long been a leader in clean, affordable, reliable energy. And leaders don't just do what's easy. They do what's right. DTE.
At DTE, we're committed to using our energy to serve and transform communities, helping to create a brighter future for us all through projects like building parks, partnering with schools, job training programs, and volunteering our time to those in need. Because at DTE, we believe we have a responsibility to serve our customers and our communities. Learn more at dteimpact.com. DTE.
The average time a resume spends on an HR manager's desk is 7 seconds, and most of them are tossed aside. Now imagine if one of those resumes belonged to Yasmin, who was
living in a shelter, juggling three jobs. I had to be resilient. That's something that you can't teach.
Or if that resume was from someone who
worked 12-hour shifts at the recycling company with my dad, who's 72. That taught me a work ethic that I carry with me every day.
We rely so much on a resume, yet it could never tell the full story of someone.
Growing up where I did, a lot of things could have gotten in the way of my goals. But I learned to push through, and that's what I bring to work every day.
So maybe it's time we look beyond the resume and look to grads of life. Discover new ways to develop great talent that are so much more than what's on paper at gradsoflife.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Grads of Life and the Ad Council.